You're listening to The Business Gist, where we're talking about the human side of the bottom line. Season 2 of The Business Gist is recorded and produced at Studio Americana in Golden Valley. If you're considering podcasting, start with studioamericana.com. They take care of all the technical aspects from recording and editing to producing and publishing, so you can stay focused on the content. That's studioamericana.com. Welcome to the Business Gist podcast. Today we have Amalia Moreno Damgaard, founder of Amalia LLC and Women Entrepreneur Minnesota. We're going to be talking to her today about food and culture. Welcome, Amalia.
Thank you, Megan. It's great to be here with you today.
I'm very excited to have you on the show. You know, Amalia, you run two companies. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I run Amalia LLC, as you indicated, in Women Entrepreneurs of Minnesota, two different businesses. One is a for-profit and the other one is a nonprofit. Amalia LLC's mission is to help companies bridge the knowledge gap of Latin American culture in the U.S. Through healthy gourmet cuisine and through speaking engagements and consulting. Women Entrepreneurs of Minnesota is a nonprofit 501c6 that fosters women entrepreneurship in the Twin Cities through peer advisory, leadership, education, and mentoring.
So what inspired you to start both of those companies?
Well, one kind of goes hand in hand with the other. So I have a prior career in corporate America, and when I transitioned from there to start my own business, Amalia LLC, and became a full-time entrepreneur. This is back in 2004, 2005, when I started this process. The fever that you see today in women's entrepreneurship, not only in the Twin Cities, but now it's nationwide and worldwide, was not there yet. And there was little support for women entrepreneurs in banks and in many other organizations. So I saw the need to have a group of like-minded women with similar needs and to support each other in so many different ways, as entrepreneurs have many needs. And I started this group back in 2006, 2007 with that purpose, to have peers, to have a support group, and to elevate entrepreneurship in women to the next level.
Excellent. And how about Amalia LLC?
Amalia LLC is my baby, and food has always been a central part of my culture, even though, you know, I had a first career in international sales and marketing and banking. I was already doing a lot of food back then. So this is not something that, you know, I switched gears and I started from zero. Part of my culture is, and this is for the Latinas in Latin America. We grow up in the kitchen with our mothers and grandmothers. And in my case, both of them were excellent cooks. I spent a great deal of time with my grandmother in the kitchen as a result that my parents were divorced when I was very young. So I ended up living with my maternal grandmother for a long period of time. And little did I know then that I was learning healthy kitchen lessons for life. That became a blessing in my life. I also didn't know back then that I would develop a love and passion for food and culture.
I think food is something that definitely bridges cultures. I also grew up in the kitchen with my grandma. She loved to cook. However, healthy, I wouldn't necessarily say was the case. She added butter to everything.
And butter is not necessarily bad. You know, I use butter sparingly now and then, only when it's absolutely necessary. Butter is delicious. It has good flavor. But the way I grew up is in a country where there is so much food, and in general, in Latin America, you know, there are so many different kinds of foods and cuisines that not a lot of it is healthy. So there are unhealthy aspects of all cuisines. And in Latin America, it can be perhaps the use of lard. And that is tradition. And in my case, my grandmother had ulcers and she had digestive problems. So sure. She did not use lard because of that. So I did not develop a taste for it. So I really acquired healthy eating tastes. My taste buds, you know, love, for example, olive oil and canola oil for cooking. I like lard, but, you know, I try not to have it too often because, you know, it's not good for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Where in Latin America did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Guatemala City, and my grandmother lived in a small town called Quetzaltepeque in the department of Chiquimula in the southeast part of the country, closest to El Salvador.
So not only are you running companies and cooking and talking about food and culture, but you've written a book that's won 9 different awards. What inspired you to do that?
When I just came to the United States, I not only developed a more fervent love of food and culture because I was away from my home country and I had this strong desire to reconnect to my own culture. I also saw that there were many children in the U.S. and especially in Minnesota that had been adopted from Guatemala. So there was an opportunity not only to reconnect with my own culture for personal reasons, but to help these parents of Guatemalan adopted children here in the United States and in Minnesota especially, to transfer the Guatemalan culture to those kids through the cuisine. And many of those parents also did not want or do not want their adopted children to lose a connection to their culture. And another part of that is that I saw that Guatemalan cuisine was not even on the map here in the United States. And I felt the urge and I felt the need to put Guatemalan cuisine in the way I wanted to present it on the map, to elevate it to a gourmet status and to elevate it to a status because I think it belongs in the category of the greatest, some of the greatest cuisines in Latin America. Why? Because it's very varied. It's it has a great background. It comes from the Mayan culture with the influence of the Spaniards, but we also have African influence on the eastern Caribbean coast. And we have a lot of different kinds of dishes by region that people are not familiar with. So that was the premise of my idea of putting together not only a wonderful cookbook with, in my case, 225 recipes, which include variations of those recipes, but to tell my own story in terms of this is the food I grew up with, and I know it's good, and I know it's wonderful, and this is the reason why. And then in addition to that, I connected that to history, to culture, and to traditions, which the cuisine is very connected to tradition and to family gatherings and so on.
For those of our listeners that don't know what Guatemalan cuisine is, could you share what some typical dishes might be?
Yes. I mentioned earlier that the core of Guatemalan cuisine is Mayan in nature. So I want to say that the backbone of Guatemalan cuisine is stews that are wonderful and contain ingredients that are natural to the Mesoamerica region. And the Mesoamerica region is the Central American region. It's a cultural and agricultural hub where many of the ingredients that you may be familiar with originated, such as tomatoes and
I didn't realize tomatoes originated in Central America.
Yes, and corn and chilies. And actually, chilies originated in a part of South America, but they spread from there on, and there are many varieties in Central America and in Mexico and elsewhere this day and age. But Guatemalan cuisine is very rich in stews, soups, and beyond. I have a chapter in my book that I call the Cold Kitchen. We have many marinated vegetables, salads. It's very colorful, very vibrant, rich in fruits, rich in vegetables, because Guatemala is the country of the eternal spring, and we have great weather year-round. So we have a great variety of all kinds of greens and fruits, vegetables, and not just one kind of each one, but within the tomato family, we have many. Within the chili family, we have many varieties and so on. So this contributes to a very vast and very rich cuisine with very fresh ingredients. And in addition to that, we have a great variety of spices that are also inherent and native to the Guatemalan and Central American area, but also spices that, you know, come from elsewhere that have been influences in the Guatemalan cuisine.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
I love all kinds of food. And I'll say that my core is Guatemalan, and then from there I go to Latin America because I embrace and I wanted to become very knowledgeable about my own cuisine first before I start exploring other cuisines. So Guatemalan, Latin American, and then after that I'll say all kinds of Asian cuisine at the top, Japanese, Thai, Chinese, Korean. And also, I love Mediterranean cuisine, and that includes Greek and also Italian. And, of course, Spanish is part of Latin America, but, you know, when you go to Spain, you discover even more.
Do you have, like, a favorite dish?
I have favorites that my family and I enjoy on a regular basis just because they're easy to make. And
What are they?
So a lot of people may not be familiar with this, but everyone is familiar with hot dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So hot dogs, Guatemalan hot dogs are a warm corn tortilla with Guatemalan-style guacamole. And then you grill a hot dog. You put it on top of that. And then you put ketchup and maybe chipotle mayo and some hot sauce. And then you top that off with a homemade sauerkraut, which we call curtido. And then you eat that with your hands, and it's a messy experience, but it's very delicious. And if you eat two of those or three, that's enough for a meal. And it's easy. You can make that in less than half an hour.
Wow, it sounds like you'd have a ton of different flavors in there.
Yes, it's an explosion of flavors, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about food and culture. Why is food such a big part of culture?
I think food is a big part of not only the Latin American culture, but the American culture and the worldwide culture. Why? Because it's the center of conversation oftentimes and the center of tradition. And when we gather with friends and family to network, to celebrate any kind of event, what's at the center? Food. In the case of Latin America, you know, where our Catholic religion is very prevalent, we have celebrations within that religion that are connected to deeply connected to food. And so it's important to us because those traditions, as you grow older, they bring back memories of family gatherings. And if you ever remember a dish or a baked good or anything that kind of is in your mind and you connect that to the time that you were in the kitchen with your grandmother, and I'm going to say in the United States, it might be pumpkin pie, it could be a turkey in the oven during Thanksgiving times, and so on. those are the kinds of memories that I have from my own culture. And I don't want to lose connection to my culture. I feel that food is so important. Food is a common denominator across cultures. Food is a strong binding force, not only behind culture, but, you know, it can bridge cultures because in so many instances, ingredients cross barriers. And I see that quite often when I travel, and I was just in Africa, and I saw a strong connection to Latin American cuisine. Why? Because I cooked locally with some chefs, but I also saw the ingredients, and those ingredients cross barriers. They could be African, they could be Latin American, but they could also be Asian, for example.
I remember when I studied in Mexico, I lived in Cuernavaca, and after about a month of being there, I really started missing home. And so I approached my host family, and I was like, can we do Minnesota Mondays? And I actually would go out grocery shopping, come back, and make dishes from home to share with them what we'd eat. So, you know, spaghetti would be one of the, the easy options to make down there. But it was one of those things that kind of helped me reconnect to back home while I was away.
Yes, absolutely. That's what it's for me. And, you know, as I try to continue to grow and learn more about my own cuisine, I learn about everything else because cuisine is really big. And that is one of the reasons why I chose to specialize, you know, in Latin American cuisine, because when I started my professional culinary career, I had so many directions to follow. I can go in the Italian direction. I can go in Spanish direction. I can go in the Guatemalan direction. What do I want to do? And because the food world is so vast, you know, then you carve the cuisines by regions and then by countries and so on. And it's still very large. So for me, it's really exciting because that means that I never run out of material. And I'm always exploring and looking for new dishes to create. And I base my creations on tradition. And from there, I make it my own.
You do a lot with local businesses, with your business. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
I have been so fortunate to land here in Minnesota. And I think that I am here for a reason. There's a reason I'm here. And I say that because when I started doing the research for my book, I mentioned the adopted children from Guatemala. So I see a strong connection there. I saw that there was a purpose for my book, you know, for them and beyond, you know, Guatemalans that also live in the United States. But I think that there's also a great deal of opportunity to educate the community and also corporations about the richness of Latin America through cultural understanding and storytelling behind the cuisine. I'll tell you a story. When I just came to the U.S. some time ago, someone asked me, Amalia, where are you from? And I said, I am from Guatemala. And they said, where is that in Mexico? And that story sort of repeated itself throughout, you know, the years. And so I sense that there is a lack of understanding of who we Latin Americans are. Mm-hmm. We have the umbrella of Latin America under our names, but we ourselves do not call ourselves Latinos. I am Guatemalan, and then I have friends that are Puerto Rican and Colombian and Venezuelan. So there are similarities amongst the Latin American cultures, but they are definitely true differences, and there are nuances, not only in language, but also in food and in culture.
And just to be clear, Guatemala is not in Mexico.
Absolutely. Guatemala is not in Mexico. Guatemala is in Central America. And I am very proud to be Guatemalan. And you asked about the companies that I work for. So I've been very fortunate to be in the Twin Cities, I mentioned earlier, because we have some, as you know, 19 Fortune 500 companies here and beyond. There are many food companies here. So for me, it's a gold mine in terms of, you know, I want to work with, you know, food companies in different capacities as a consultant, in creating recipes, in ideation, and...
Well, you're doing a lot around education for culture, right, for companies?
Yes, yes.
And so do you go in and do programs to help educate about the Guatemalan culture, or are you talking about other cultural differences? Can you expand on that?
Good question. For instance, I did many presentations in the last 2 months connected to Hispanic Heritage Month. During this month, I'm very active with education. But oftentimes, the companies that hire me to speak say they want me to provide food as well. And they want me to also demonstrate the food. And this is an opportunity to bring employees together to celebrate the Latin culture through, you know, storytelling, speaking, and so on. So I always pick Guatemala in as part of my menu, but I create a menu of, say, 6-7 different Latin American countries. This gives me the platform to educate about not only Guatemala, but about the differences, the similarities of Latin American cultures. And oftentimes, you know, companies also want me to talk about my own career. And they find it intriguing that how can someone from international banking that spent, you know, so much time in a corporate career can be a chef? And they find that intriguing. They find that interesting. And I find that it is a joy for me to share about my own experience. And, you know, I share about that. I share about self empowerment, entrepreneurship, and beyond. So I am about food culture and also entrepreneurship and storytelling on the business side of my two businesses when I give all these presentations. And I custom make these presentations for each corporation because everyone has a different agenda, different audiences, and so on. So I adapt to where I'm going. But I've been very active during Hispanic Heritage Month because it's an opportunity to highlight and it's an opportunity to celebrate. Throughout the year, I do a lot of entrepreneurship, career transitioning type presentations, and oftentimes they come with food as well.
It's always good to have food. Why do you think companies are celebrating Hispanic Month?
Well, I think that, you know, going back 15, 20 years ago, they were not doing that as much. Why? Because the Latin American demographic was not as large as it is now. It is a fact that it is the number one minority in this country, so that has something to do with it. There is an opportunity to market to Latinos today more than ever. So I think that companies, a few companies, are still a little far behind in catching up to that. But certainly they see the opportunity to get closer to the Latino consumer. And one way to get closer is definitely through celebrations of not only Hispanic Heritage Month, but using cuisine as a platform to get closer to Latinos is it's good business.
Well, so if companies aren't doing anything today to celebrate Latino culture, what would you recommend they do?
Well, I'll recommend that they talk to me.
Of course.
And I'll give them tons of ideas of, you know, I'll ask a lot of questions. That's my sales hat, right? I come from a business, strong business development environment. So I will ask a lot of questions to understand needs, and then I will give a lot of recommendations based on those needs. So every company is unique in nature, and every company has different needs.
Do you think it's important for the Latino employees that are working at these companies to be recognized?
Absolutely. I think that companies that hire Latino talent have an advantage. Why? Because that gives them an opportunity to learn more about the Latino culture. and they can use them as brainstorming, you know, opportunity to learn more about the distinctive cultures in Latin America. And, you know, speaking from a diversity and inclusion standpoint, this can be an inclusion of ideas that come from other parts of the world that companies may not necessarily be thinking about. But they can be a very strong pool of ideas that can lead to marketing campaigns, not only during Hispanic Heritage, but during other times as well, to get closer to the Latino culture and to grow their sales in that way.
Do you have any last-minute thoughts on just food and culture in general? Like, if you could say anything about it, what would you say?
I'll say that food and culture for me is also an opportunity to engage the youth and engage people to eat healthier. I am on the board of the American Diabetes Association, and I feel that this is a very good fit for me. Why? Because diabetes type 2 is linked to unhealthy eating and unhealthy lifestyles. So I feel a very strong connection to this organization because I am about food culture, but I am also about healthy eating. And through my book, I educate about healthy eating through suggesting healthier cooking techniques. Food can be delicious. Food can be wonderful. It doesn't have to be fried. There are ways that you can mimic that by using cooking techniques such as the oven and the stovetop and the grill. And I have all kinds of ideas to get people to eat fresher foods to be healthier overall.
If people really enjoyed what you had to say today and want to learn more, either about entrepreneurship or food or culture, how can they get in contact with you?
They can go to amalialc.com. And if they want to learn about Women Entrepreneurs of Minnesota, they can go to WEMN.org.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We really enjoyed talking about food and culture with you. I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners did too.
Thank you for having me, Megan. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope you learned as much as I did. For more episodes, you can visit us at thebusinessgist.com or find us on iTunes or wherever else you're listening to your podcasts.